Would you like to own up for anything you've been wrong about in the past? Like, this is the space. That's what we've been doing today. It's a safe space.
Yes. But not on radio. Not on radio.
Oh, not on radio.
I thought the claims would respond more consistently under Daryl. But we also did speak that they were going to be held accountable either way. We're going to find out what they're made of, and unfortunately, it hasn't been very pretty. So, like, that's just been to watch those last couple games, to see how hard they play coming out of the gate, and to see that, like, their quote unquote core. I mean, you don't even hear their names during the broadcast, which is it's got to be frustrating. So, I'm sure there's going to be changes in the offing. I don't think that those are deals that you can make it at the trade deadline because they're too complex and big to rush, but I do think there'll be some drastic changes to that core.
So we started today's show talking about the Flames and how if you were picking teams you would want to be a GM of or that you would want to be a fan of right now in the North Division, I said it has to be the Flames dead last because the core has looked so terrible this year. I don't even know who the core is at this point. And the most popular player in the city going into this season is now, I don't want to say he's a pariah, but he's certainly not what he was a year ago. There's all these speculations about who's going to move, what's going to happen with this team, how it's going to operate under Sutter moving forward. You just said that you don't think they end up being big sellers, but they have to sell some stuff, right? Like, they're going to have things on the block now, and do they start at, like, fielding phone calls with these other Canadian franchises saying, hey, if you want some of these pieces, they're available. Everything must go at the right price.
No, I wouldn't. You're selling from a complete position of weakness. I do believe that those are the conversations that you have when the season's over. You can start those conversations, but they're not deals that you make in a, like, trade of the magnitude that they're going to have to make or even trade. I mean, first of all, the guy that you're talking about, he's not going to go anywhere. I mean, Tkachuk's having a down year. He's something that you build your entire future around, but I agree. It's frustrating to watch towards that. He's one of my favorite players in hockey. I mean, that's coming from a guy that on a nightly basis used to drive Drew Doughty nuts with his competitive nature. And sometimes the kids, even, no matter who they are, they get a big contract. There's whatever happened early in the season there, like that whole Muzzin thing doesn't seem to sort itself out properly. He's not looked himself. The team doesn't look, they have little blips where their chemistry looks good, but the play for me was the other night against the Leafs where he didn't get the puck out at the blue line. Like, that's textbook for him. It was like 4th and 1, and I don't know who it was who stuffed him at the blue line, and the puck ends up in the back of the net. But that stuff for him, it's just got to be an automatic. And they look frustrated. I mean, there was a play last night, too, where it's like, and these are all good players. Some of very good players. Like, you look at their history of scoring, it wasn't like one good year. Like, Monahan consistently puts up big numbers. Goudreau had consistently put up big numbers. But Monahan got that puck in the slot last night. He almost hit the picture of the queen behind the net. It was like slap shot. It wasn't even close. So that's confidence when you're dealing with such. But it'll be interesting. Again, there's some guys there that I really would have liked to see. I mean, Mark Giordano, I would have loved to see him have some success and make a long playoff run, but they're going to have some soul searching to do in the offseason because Daryl's certainly not going anywhere. He didn't sign for a year. He's going to be a part of the rebuild as well. So not rebuild. I think you have to retool because I don't think you can look at a rebuilding team with Daryl Sutter coaching it because he's there to win. He's there to win. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch as well.
So I assume, you're basically saying that Johnny Goudreau is not going to be moved here before Monday because that's too complicated to move, and he does have one more year on his deal after this season. But it feels like that guy is on borrowed time with that franchise right now. And when you said there were guys that weren't even mentioned, like, he was the number one guy that came to mind, although he still leads that team, I think, in goal scoring, but just an absolute ghost right now. Daryl doesn't seem to be a huge fan either. Like, what is that guy's trade value at this point?
Well, like anything, you value your own a lot more because, and that's the problem because it's like right now, the guy in Buffalo trying to sell Taylor Hall is the MVP version of Taylor Hall but he's got two goals. You know what I mean? So it's a matter of, that's why these things take time, because Johnny Goudreau is a very good hockey player who's not playing very good hockey. You know, I actually, he reminds me of a lot of Nylander in a sense that, you know, there's so much skill there, massive inconsistencies, but when he's on, it's just fun to watch. The only difference, when Nylander gets quiet in Toronto, there's a bunch of horses that can continue on the race and fill a net. Whereas in Calgary, when Goudreau gets cold, you know, right now, Monahan's not picking up the slack. Tkachuk's not picking up the slack. You know, Lindholm's got to be better. The players that, you know, when you're talking about Mangiapane as your most consistent threat, that's not a, and that's no knock on Mangiapane, but that's not a good thing. So it's a strange dynamic, but I agree with you. I just would be absolutely shocked if any large names are moved from Calgary. And to be perfectly honest, I looked at it last night. There's not like a glut of UFAs that are going to be attractive in a selling market, whereas, you know, they'd have to be trading somebody with term, I think. I don't think there are any UFAs that, other than possibly, if you see some of these teams that are going into these goalies, like getting worried about their goaltending, there might be a fit for a guy like Redditch, who I believe is UFA, to go in and to take up some games. And but other than that, I don't see something that you're going to get a lot of people calling about with a lack of depth. The guy, just a lack of guys here playing well for the Flames. So we'll see. But you will not see, and I agree with you, I think Goudreau is probably the name we're going to be talking about, but I don't believe that trade has any wheels coming out Tuesday or Monday,
Yeah, no, hey, and Ben and I were talking about this, I think, last week, because Ben brought up the point how Kyle Dubas was at the Flames game and Johnny Goudreau's name was floating around. I thought, well, one, they're not going to get him because he has that extra year of term, which really makes things tricky with the Hyman negotiations. And two is they really don't need a guy like Johnny Goudreau on this team right now. I don't think that's a fit in terms of what they would be looking for at the deadline.
Hasn't exactly been great in the playoffs either.
Well, what were you going to say, Mike? Oh, I was just going to say that if he was looking at anybody, it was Riddick.
Yeah, that's the guy, and I don't even know. I mean, he does have value. I mean, he played well against the Leafs. When he's on, he's proven he's a good 1B. He's been wildly inconsistent this year. But I agree with you. I don't think Johnny Goudreau is the answer to any of the Leafs, issues up front. I mean, again, you guys mentioned it. I mean, he actually has done some things in the playoffs, but you have to go back pretty far. But it gets back to the same thing where it amps up quite a bit. I mean, the amount of heat that Nylander seems to take when the going gets tough, that you don't need to have another forward that has the same MO because you've already got one who's exceptionally skilled. So I think the Leafs, it's crazy. The people we talk to, it's just such a different deadline. Like, you see a team like you guys mentioned, Nashville, I understand, and it's great they're playing better, but they still, I mean, you don't just change your plan. I still think that they need to retool, or they're going to be stuck right in that, you know, well, we made the playoffs again and we're out. You got to look at who's ahead of you and what your real true chance is. Like, they chewed up a lot of teams below them in the standings to get to where they, you know, on their winning streak. You got to be honest about who's ahead of you. And then you go to Vancouver, who is a team that definitely should be selling, and they're all in quarantine. So it's I mean, like the Tanner Pearson, you know, you've got, not only is he out and he can't skate, he can't even go to a facility to rehab and skate. There's just, so I can't see a team getting a deal like that done. First of all, I certainly hope Tanner ends up staying in Vancouver, but it's just one of those things that, because you're going to have Jim Benning on one mind trying to sell Tanner Pearson, the Stanley Cup champion, and the buyer's going to be saying, well, he's got an ankle injury and his entire team is in quarantine with COVID. What are we getting here? So there's just conversations that never happen at trade deadline. That being said, I think trades, like you saw what happened with Staal, those trades are doable. There's trades that are doable, and I do think teams are going to add pieces to make themselves better. I don't know how many. I guess the big name still is Taylor Hall, Palmieri, I mean, Savard, I think all these guys are still in play. I think somebody, Lou Lamoriello always seems to pull something out of his hat. I could see, like, if I wanted a playoff-ready guy, betting on the price, and I'd probably still overpay for him, I'd want Nick Foligno on my team in the playoffs any day of the week. And those are the kind of players that just, you know, are going to get you over the top because he still hasn't won a cup. He's going to be hungry, and he's going to bring a lot of intangibles to your team, as you saw last year in the playoffs with how well he played against the Leafs in the bubble with Columbus.
Yeah. And I think if you're a Leafs fan right now, Foligno is probably the name you want more than anybody. It's either he or Palmieri that everybody has circled. But I saw Elliot and CJ reporting that Palmieri, as of late anyways, didn't want to do the quarantine when it was 14 days. Maybe it changes with 7, but that factors in for some of these guys in terms of where they're going to be willing to go, whether they're going to be willing to do it. You said something super interesting there, though, Mike, because you've been in front offices, and we always talk about this on the show, is you have to have a plan, you have to have a plan, you have to have a plan, you have to be honest with yourselves. We did it with the Raptors leading into the NBA trade deadline for 2 weeks, which is, hey, it isn't about getting into the playoffs for you anymore and just getting bounced in the first round. You have to have a plan. You have to make sure that you are thinking about your future at this point and building towards that. And to be honest, it kind of felt as though their plan wasn't a very good one. How difficult is it to have those kinds of talks in a room? How divisive is that when you are a team like Nashville, you are right there, or even if you're a team like, I guess Columbus is sort of out of it now, the last I checked, but yeah, you're the Phillies, you're those teams that are just on the outside, you want to make a push, you know that teams can go deep, but then there are other guys in the room that say, we're just not there. And it might cost us jobs, but we need to do the right thing, which is think of the future. I've got to think it's very, very difficult.
Absolutely. And I think you guys nailed it. And it's hard. We made the same mistakes too. But they were more, some guys got themselves into off-ice predicaments. But again, I guess it'd be the same. It's like a pandemic. Like when Voyanov was arrested, it completely changed the dynamics of your team with a kind of self-inflicted wound, right? So there was nothing we could have projected from a hockey standpoint that something like that was going to happen. But when you look, again, it's just... And the other thing is, too, when you have a couple of banners, it's a little easier to be honest about what you need to do because you can be a little bit more patient with a mild rebuild or a mild retool if you don't have any history of winning. And again, it's like, you know, the Raptors, they got their pennant, right? So there's a little bit more grace. Now, if the Raptors win that championship, people will be looking at this deadline a whole lot differently, the way it was handled, I believe. But I do think a team like Toronto has to look at this like we have to win now. There's just too many chips. I mean, I know you guys call them a Band-Aid, but Jack's looking pretty good. I think he's allowing them a chance to get Freddie healthy. I don't think they're going to add a goaltender in Toronto. I think they're comfortable. Freddie's going to be coming back fine. I do still think Kyle's going to make a move to add to this team. It's just, I was talking to another general manager from a Canadian team that's in a playoff spot, and he said it's so hard to get a deal done because of the salary cap. And they're like, there's certain teams that it's all like for Edmonton to get better, they have to take cash out of their lineup to put cash into their lineup. So it's not just a matter of adding a rental because you don't have the cap space. I think Winnipeg is probably a team that has some room to maneuver, but they don't seem to want to give up the assets that some of these larger names are asking for. And I don't think, I thought like because of what was going on and teams have, like some teams just are so bad that they need to do some selling that the prices would go down, but I haven't heard there's many prices going down yet. Like, and if you're sitting in Buffalo with the season they're having and you're stuck in your ways on I'm getting X amount for this player, I just shake my head and say, well, you better be careful you don't get caught holding the bag at the trade deadline and Taylor Hall still in your locker room, because that would be that'd be one of those unforgivable ones. But you guys talked earlier about guys that couldn't move. It's the same thing. Like I believe they'll move Jack Eichel under the right circumstances, but I don't think you don't move Jack Eichel at a trade deadline when he's been out for months. You know, that's something that builds into it. I think you're at the draft and there's going to be picks involved from the draft, the prospects, and you have time to really see where you're at moving forward. Did you guys hear anything about is the Palmieri thing to do with – sometimes it's funny, the American players don't want to come to the big markets in Canada. I don't know, was it about quarantine or did you hear anything about sometimes the American players don't want to play in Canada regardless of pandemic, anything like that? It's just the pressure of being in Toronto, bit of a grind.
I got to tell you, if I was a general manager and I even got whiff that a guy didn't want to play in Canada because of the pressure, I would say, oh, great, then you just actually saved me. Because
absolutely,
now,
that's what I mean.
you did me a huge favor. You can stay down in Florida and grind it out in front of your 4,000 fans every night and win your no games ever and have zero legacy.
Exactly. Well, other than the fact Florida still has the same amount of fans watching them, there was no pandemic. It's only their first place in the NHL right now. So
I guess
I agree with you, but there's where a guy like Foligno for me would just chew it up. Like he'd just he would love every second of it, love every second of the pressure. I'm assuming that's a pretty high price because of the intangibles and the character that he does bring to a team.